Okay. Got it together here. Erica Kahn joins us this hour, and next hour as well. We have so much to cover, and I must also remind you that part two of Project Veritas, revelations about the greatest mass murder in human history, at least it's playing out that way, and we'll be bringing that to you later on this evening. It's something I'm looking forward to seeing. We played much of the first part during Monday's program. They've rolled out part number two now. Hi, Erica. Welcome back.
Good evening, Jeff. Nice to be back. Thanks.
Yeah, always nice to have you back. We have a lot going on. There are a couple of things I want to start with. I'm speaking for myself now, not for Erica or anyone else, but about a month ago, this Bard's Fest took place in, was it St. Louis? I think it was St. Louis.
Yeah, St. Louis, Missouri.
About a month ago. And perhaps 2 weeks prior to that, 3 weeks, I made it very clear that this was not smart to do. Not tactically smart, not smart in terms of getting a message out, unnecessary, to gather some of the top people in the alt health field in one location under one roof with hundreds and hundreds of other people. Never mind they were charging nearly $100 for the front seats. I thought that was a bit much, but the idea of putting these people together was not smart strategically. Their security is obviously vulnerable, and if someone wanted to go through there and aerosolize release, or maybe it was done by EMF from afar, they just focused in on the building, I don't know. Something, in fact, did happen there. Now, Erica was right in there. We both together were warning and cautioning. You remember that very well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it didn't seem like a prudent thing to do, but I didn't want to discourage anybody unnecessarily. I mean, you've got to make up your own mind about these issues.
And I guess a lot of people did make up their mind. Let's go. It's going to be fun. We're going. Well, if you really think about it, honestly, the speakers wouldn't be presenting anything new much, if at all. They'd be going through their typical routine. Well, what happened at the Bard's Fest? Well, let me just play this little clip. This is Dr. Larry Pilevsky of the Dr. P and Dr. T program, Notoriety. And we're going to get right into what happened at the Bard's Fest. Now, I didn't know about this until today. And I always give credit where credit's due, and Larry and Sherry put it up in their episode today, or maybe it was a special video, but it's up. Now I'm going to just play this. Anything you want to add real quick before I play this?
Oh, no. No, go ahead.
Okay. You'll hear a little bit from Dr. Pilevsky, and then you'll hear Sherry Tenpenny.
Is the Five Docs episode. It's the fourth Thursday in September.
Yep.
And we want to remind everybody to, you know, be prepared for that. I don't know if Dr. Northrup will make it, but we're going to try and get her on because she missed the last Five Docs. And, you know, somebody said they have not seen Scott Kesterson or his podcasts have not been on.
Last night was the first one since September the 3rd.
Okay, so he took a break. Good for him. He needed a break, that's for sure.
I think he's doing just one a day now for a while. I heard that he was sick, like everybody else that got sick at Bard's Fest.
Really?
Oh, gosh. I know at least 35 people and one person who actually died from being at Bard's Fest.
Really?
Yeah. And I heard that Scott was pretty sick, and he has his last podcast that he posted was September the 3rd, and then last night was the first one, his 9 p.m. podcast. But those are the only one, that's the only one he's done since September the 3rd.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know people got sick at Bard's Fest.
Everybody.
You think it was,
including me.
Really?
Yep. Yep.
Wow. You think it was, a plant?
I don't know. I was told that there it was possibility it was something aerosolized that was there. So I don't know. But there were a lot. I probably had, and I'm not kidding, 25 people of vendors and speakers that right after they got home called me and wanted various things, you know, wanted to know what they could do.
Wow. Are you okay?
I'm not 100%. So, but I'm getting there.
So I want the listeners to know that if you can get your hands on bentonite clay.
Okay, forget the bentonite clay. The bottom line is these people went to that indoor arena. It's quite clear that 35 plus people don't just incidentally get sick and one dies unless there's something going on there. Sherry Tenpenny, you just heard her say, she's getting better, but she doesn't look better. Now, this is a month she's been sick. She's puffy, bloated looking, still looks like, you know, Sherry, but she's not well. Her voice is weak. It's obvious that she was hit with something of substance, and certainly with one dead and 35 at least. And those are just the ones that apparently contacted her or were able to get word to her. That place was hit, just like we suspected it might.
Yeah, it was, in my mind at least, it was totally predictable. I mean, positive thinking or optimistic thinking aside, I think a lot of people are hesitant to believe, you know, that we are dealing with bio-warfare these days. And even though the initial COVID virus, whatever that was, you know, not many people, including myself, I did not take that particularly seriously because I believe I had had it early on and developed some degree of immunity to it, and I felt the lockdowns were unnecessary because the vast majority of people were not succumbing to this. They were sick for a couple days, but, you know, they overcame it. This is something different. We don't know what they're injecting into people that is obviously affecting those around them. It's something synthetic. And it may be something that, you know, our immune systems cannot overcome. And I think until we know what it is, the prudent thing to do is to avoid these situations that expose you to huge numbers of people in confined spaces.
And what is Sherry talking about in this video along with Larry about their upcoming events?
Yeah, they're not apparently deterred by what's happened, and maybe there's no reason to be at this point. Once you're exposed, but we don't know what it is. I mean, it might have been an EMF pulse of some sort.
Could be anything.
Electromagnetic frequencies, ionizing right. Radiation. It could have been something that was aerosolized. It could have been multiple people there that were contagious with something.
They could have been vaxxed, and they could have gone on their own. That's
right.
Another possible. Shedding might have been part of it. Point is, we warned. I'm sure other people did. It's not smart. Just remember, remember Donald Trump imploring all American patriots to come to Washington, D.C. and demonstrate peacefully. That was one of the biggest setups I have ever seen. Those poor people went there. Some are still 9 months now, still in jail. I understand they're being kept with no clothing, having to sleep on a mattress with no blanket. It's just they're being treated worse than or as bad as Gitmo, apparently. And this is Donald Trump. When Trump left office, and I said this before he left, he should pardon every one of those people that came there. Nothing was burned. Nothing was destroyed. These people were, as we know now, invited into the Capitol building by the Capitol cops. Invited in. Come on in. And they're still locked up now. Some are trying to plea bargain. This is all Trump. It's on Trump. He's got blood on his hands. So same kind of thing. You don't put people of like minds that are ostensibly going against the grain like health freedom advocates in one location. You don't do it. It's not smart. And the price has been paid. I wish Sherry well. She's not well. She is sick. You can tell by looking and listening. Her eyes are puffed up. She looks bad.
Well, what else is worrying, and to me, is that she has been on a prophylactic protocol, but with ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, among other things. And apparently that was not enough to stave off whatever it is she succumbed to. So is it a situation where whatever this is mutating or overcoming all of the therapeutics? Perhaps because they're being, you know, too broadly used, too indiscriminately used by people now? Maybe they should be
good,
used as a
very
prophylactic.
Very good point. Very good point. I don't think at all that they should be used as a prophylactic. I think they should be on the shelf when needed.
Yes.
It makes no sense to be doing prophylactic treatment with Iver or hydroxychloroquine. Makes no sense. So there you go. Word to the wise. And if you feel like going to one of these events and standing in a crowd of people or sitting in a crowd of people, be prepared. Things can happen, and we have proof now that they did. So there you go. And again, I look at Pilevsky, and he looks healthy. Sherry does not look healthy. Ohio, by the way, did renew her medical license, even though the news story I saw said she's the woman who claims that the vaccine injections give you some kind of magnetism. They laughed at her. But she did get her license back. She didn't, as far as I know, have to submit to a psych eval, which was talked about.
Right.
Yeah, they're going to do that.
Oh, so, yeah, they do.
She is relicensed. Okay, there we go. That's the latest on that. Now, there's another issue here. It's called death by remdesivir. And I am now fairly well convinced that the majority of people who died last year were not only mislabeled COVID cases, like 98% of them, but they were murdered with remdesivir. You go to the hospital, you got a fever, you got a cough, you don't feel good, they give you a phony test, PCR, comes, oh, you're positive, never mind, it's got a 95% false positive rate. You're positive. You sign over, you do the admit forms, they put you right in a COVID ward, they stick the IV in your arm, and they put remdesivir in the IV. And you start going right downhill.
That's definitely happening.
They may have killed millions of people this way.
Yeah.
Seriously. Not a
joke. No, a hospital is not a good place to be these days.
Unless you've got a broken leg in a car crash, or you went for a hike and made a misstep and broke your leg, you don't want to be in a hospital. You cut yourself with a knife. You don't want to be in a hospital. Go to an emergency clinic. Get stitched up. Get the leg set if you can.
Right.
Go home.
Yep.
Go home. Don't stay in the hospital. Sorry. That's the way it is. Many of which are going to begin to fail to be available to treat people, because staff is quitting. One-third of America's health professionals are quitting rather than take the kill shot. And they're going to be bringing over, it's already in one of O'Biden's EOs, that they're going to be bringing over Thais, Filipinos, and other Asians, nurses, to fill the space. Well, what a trick. And you say, what's the trick? They're coming over on H-1B visas. Once they're here, they'll be given a pathway to citizenship, and they'll be allowed to bring in their extended families through chain migration. Get it? See? Another trick.
I think a year from now, we're not even going to recognize this country.
No. A lot of it will be cremated already.
Mm-hmm.
But quite right. The body bags are dispersed. I do predict every community will have, I hate to say this, will have their trash trucks making regular rounds to pick up bags.
Yeah.
People will not be able to go into a hospital. God forbid they want to. They'll die at home. If you have 200 million people vaxxed and only 900,000 beds, where are the 198 million, 99 million people going to go when they're sick? They're going to go home. So that's why the bags are strategically placed already.
So or here's, the cardboard coffins.
Tell our listeners about that.
Well, in some hospitals now, they are, instead of having a regular gurney stretcher, they're now using makeshift ones. They're specially designed to do this. They start off as a wheeled gurney, but then if the patient looks like they're not going to, be treatable or they're declining, they will convert them into actual coffins. They have flaps on either side that come up and makes for an easy exit out the back door.
Right to the mortician or to the furnace? To the furnace?
Or the water cremation to the fertilizer.
Oh, to be put on our our crops. What a nice... Do you know how... I'm speaking to all of you. Can you imagine how dirty the human body fluids are? How contaminated the human body is with toxins, chemicals, toxicities, pharmaceuticals, and that? I don't believe for a minute they're going to completely neutralize all that. So that will be liquefied and used to spray crops. They're already doing it.
Yes, they are. The legislation's already in place to allow for that extensively.
How ghoulish does it get? They knew. See, they knew this is... I don't know how easily it is to liquefy a body or how long it takes, but they're already doing it, and it's pretty disgusting. Here's Dr. Pilevsky talking about hospitals. And I think he's on the right page on this.
So speaking of that, Dr. G, I don't know if you mentioned what's going on in the hospitals that we're hearing about on the side that's never going to make it to the news. But people who are getting the shot, who are getting sick within 14 days of the shot, are counted as not vaccinated.
Not only if they get sick within 14 days, but if they die within 14 days.
Correct. So
and that's coming out of that. There's a database. There's a CMS database that actually shows how many people have actually died within the first 14 days of being. And I said, oh, when I was told this, when the person told me, I said, oh, so that's why they changed the rules.
Right.
You know, that all these people are dying within 14 days of the shot. And so they changed the rules to say if you died within 14 days of your shot, you're considered to be unvaccinated.
Right. So Vanderbilt put out this report recently, Vanderbilt University Hospital, about the large percentage of people in the hospital who are either sick with COVID or dying with COVID who were unvaccinated. And that's where all these data...
But it's a lie, right?
Of course it's lies. I mean, how many people last year in 2020, Dr. T, got to the emergency room for non-COVID issues? And if they had a positive COVID test, they were counted as a COVID case. And if they died, they were counted as a COVID death. How many? I mean, we don't even know. But what scares me most is that if you get into a motor vehicle accident and you get taken to the emergency room, and you get a positive COVID test, you're put on the floor as a COVID patient. And there's chances, and we have seen this and heard it, that these people are actually sedated, intubated, and given remdesivir to treat their COVID. And these are the deaths that are not being reported as murder. And, you know, there are nurses and doctors who are speaking up, but But we also know that the hospital administrators and the high ups and the doctors are actually complicit. And, you know, this is where I love history, Dr. T, because if we remember history, eventually those people who were complicit in the crimes get nailed.
Okay. Eventually is a long time. Unfortunately, the way that the so-called just us system is working now, it's a real long time. And if you have money or you have the government on your side, it's an incredible long time. Long time, endless time. You're not going to get justice. I think, we're going to go right through the break, Todd, thank you. I think that anyone in a medical setting who knowingly injects someone with one of these vaccines, and I say knowingly to the extent that they're aware of the controversy. Maybe they're more than aware of the controversy. Maybe they're a nurse in a hospital, and we've seen a number of them on video who know they're killing people. What does that make them? It makes them accessory to murder. The nurse who gives the shot, if there is any knowledge at all, and I guarantee you, most of them have heard plenty about these shots. So what we have here is a mass murder going on. Hospital administrations, hospital staff, doctors, and oh, have I heard stories about doctors who just pretend like they don't know, and they sure as hell do know, that these are death jabs. That's what they are. You're getting this too, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, I think we're approaching a breaking point. I don't see how this can continue much longer. It's so obvious at this point.
Keyword obvious, profoundly obvious. The government just revised its admitted death rate in this country. It was 157,000. I don't remember the details of the story, but it came through a government agency of some kind, rather than the 13,000 at VAERS. Whatever you have at VAERS, you multiply it by 100, okay? Just don't forget that. That's a given. I don't know where we're going to get ever the truth, but we've got a pretty good idea about what's going on, and I don't know if the whole thing will ever unravel, but I agree with Erica that this is really getting on shaky ground now. I do. And I don't know how much longer they can keep at it. But I guess if you own the media and you own the government, you can go on for a long time. What are
and
you
they've
seeing
even got
on?
The oh, FDA go advisory committee as of last Friday when they were reviewing the Pfizer documents. I mean, the stuff that was coming out.
Right.
You know, irrefutable evidence of the harm, significant harm, that these so-called vaccines are doing.
Perfect lead-in. Okay. Jeff just got the video, and thanks for sending this along, and we will play this now. All right, this is the 167th Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee. It's a meeting. And you say about 4 hours?
At about 4 hours or 4:20, either or.
All right. I can go ahead and advance it a little bit here. Go up to 4:20. Okay. Well, we're going to have to stay with 1940. All right. Here we go.
Large enough to find a reduction in hospitalization. Without this data, we, the medical establishment, cannot confidently call out anti-COVID vaccine activists who publicly claim the vaccines harm more than they save, especially in the young and healthy. The fact that we do not have the clinical evidence to say these activists are wrong should terrify us all. Thank you. Next slide.
Thank you, Dr. Freeman. The next speaker is Mr. Steve Kirsch.
Right.
That's Steve Kirsch, Executive Director of the COVID-19 Early Treatment Fund. Kirsch, K-I-R-S-C-H.
I'm Steve Kirsch. I'm Executive Director of the COVID-19 Early Treatment Fund. I have no conflicts. Advance to slide number 4 with the elephant. I'm going to focus my remarks today on the elephant in the room that nobody likes to talk about, that the vaccines kill more people than they save. Today, we focus almost exclusively on COVID death saves and vaccine efficacy because we were led to believe that the vaccines are perfectly safe. But this is simply not true. For example, there were 4 times as many heart attacks in the treatment group in the Pfizer 6-month trial report. That wasn't bad luck. Theirs shows heart attacks happen 71 times more often following these vaccines compared to any other vaccine. In all, 20 people died who got the drug, 14 died who got the placebo. Few people noticed that. If the net all-cause mortality from the vaccines is negative, vaccines, boosters, and mandates are all nonsensical. This is the case today. Death rates. Let's slide number 7, advance to the number 7 in the lower part. This shows that the all-cause death light rate in 3 cases. Only the VAERS numbers are statistically significant, but the other numbers are troubling. Even if the vaccines had 100% protection, it still means we killed 2 people to save 1 life. 4 experts did analyses using completely different non-U.S. data sources, and all of them came up with approximately the same number of excess vaccine-related deaths, about 411 deaths per million doses. That translates into 150,000 people have died. Next slide would be slide number 11, the nursing home. Now, the real numbers confirm that we kill more than we save, and I would love everyone to look at the Israel Ministry of Health data on the 90-plus-year-olds where we went from a 94.4% vaccinated group to 82.9% vaccinated in the last 4 months. In the most optimistic scenario, it means that 50% of the vaccinated people died and 0% of unvaccinated people died. Unless you can explain that to the American public, you cannot approve the boosters. Slide number 16, please.
Briefly, it is alleged that Fauci said that at this point in time, we don't need boosters. But then I read where he equivocated on that and backed off a little bit. So first he said boosters, and he said no boosters, and he said, well, I wasn't speaking for some organization or some government bureaucracy that had a handle in it. Might have been the FDA, I don't know. But they're, bet on it, they're going to have boosters.
This is merely an advisory committee. They don't have to do the what they're being recommended to do.
Right. Boosters and social credit scores. Understand that's all going to morph into the same thing. Believe it. And social credit scores will then morph into your bank account with your digital money. And you saw that Biden, I think most of you saw this, is demanding that a law be passed that mandates, speaking of mandating, that every bank in America report to the federal government every deposit or withdrawal over $600. Think about that. Think about the bureaucracy that would create. But beyond that, tie that into your social credit score, your booster, your vax and booster history, which will be hand in hand with the social credit score, and then your finances. It's all going to be tied together on one card. And when you get money, let's say you deposit $700, $1,000, they'll take the tax out right then. That money will be taxed. You won't have $700 or $1,000. They'll take whatever. I really hope that a vax is followed by a VAT. And if you understand the acronyms, vax is one thing, but it's not really an acronym, but VAT is value-added tax. Now, that's the so-called national sales tax. They put a 5 or 10% tax on everything that's sold in this country. Everything anybody buys, it's taxed. No more IRS, no more income tax. It's a value-added tax, which, honestly, to me, I've always been in favor of. It makes more sense to me. It's logical. It's simpler. The whole tax industry is horrific, to put it mildly. Any thoughts on that?
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
It's amazing they've been able to keep track of it this long, and it's a totally imperfect system. Cumbersome.
Right. A VAT would work. People would bitch about it, but it would work. And I think they'd get used to it quickly. They would just have to buy a little less. Understand. I get that. But looking at most Americans in terms of food, I think they could afford to buy a little less and lose a little weight.
We're a society of excess. Yes.
Horrible. And they wonder why they're sick. There's your answer. Look in the damn mirror. Just look around. And I don't care who it is. I don't think anyone who's overweight is happy. I'm not seeing any. They don't look happy to me. So, okay. Let's go back to this here. This is the FDA hearing. Am I at the right place?
Yeah. And I just want to mention this Steve Kirsch. Some may be familiar with him. He did a number of interviews with Brett Weinstein of the Dark Horse podcast.
Do I remember these?
Yeah, he had called himself a serial entrepreneur. He was
he was the balding guy on the right.
Yes,
with the beard.
Yes. I don't think he had a beard. Robert Malone was on the left. Brett Weinstein was
the
in
beard,
the middle. Yes.
Anyway, I thought the guy on the right did, but whatever. I remember. Okay, so that's Steve Kirsch. All right, good.
Yep.
Thank you for that. Here we go.
The paper just posted yesterday on MedArchive entitled mRNA COVID-19 Vaccination and Development of CMR Confirmed Myopericarditis shows that the myopericarditis risk was 1 in 1,000, and that's an overall age range from 18 to 65, mean age of 33. It is not inconsistent with what the bear shows. Next slide would be slide number 18, gaming of the trial. It's pretty clear that the Pfizer trial results were gained. It's statistically impossible for protocol violations to be 5 times higher in the treatment group. Why hasn't this been investigated? Slide number 19. Natty DeGray was 12 when she enrolled in the Pfizer phase 3 trial for kids. Now she's paralyzed for life. It wasn't reported in the Pfizer results. I told Janet Woodcock there was no investigation. Please tell us why this fraud was not investigated. And finally, slide number 20, please. Early treatments are a much better alternative to boosters. The proof is that in Israel, cases are at an all-time high. In India, Uttar Pradesh is now COVID-19 free as of today. Almost nobody there is vaccinated.
Excuse me, but how do they know it's COVID-19? I have to go back to this. I'm sorry. I just you cannot pronounce COVID-19 with a test that doesn't work. And this isn't just something that's arguably ineffective. It doesn't work. So who the hell are these people to say someone's got COVID-19? They could have the flu. They could have influenza A, influenza B. They could have a cold. They could have all kinds of things. There are
right.
only so many
yep.
symptoms to go around, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, here's yep. the point. With Uttar Pradesh in India, they passed out ivermectin to everybody. And nobody was sick. And I think it was the flu, frankly. You can't just make the flu vanish off the planet like they did last year. They just relabeled it. So in Uttar Pradesh, they gave everybody Iver, and they're fine. So they're calling it COVID-free. Well, okay, whatever. The point is the people got a lot healthier. This ivermectin is near to being a miracle compound. And remember, it was first approved for human use when it came out. and then it moved over to the veterinary field. And they're trying to scare the hell out of people now. Don't take this. It's only for animals. Well, what are we?
Right.
We're mammal animals. Mammal animals. So whether you have the tube, or you've got capsules, or you've got liquid, it doesn't matter. You've got something that can do a lot. Now, this goes back to what Erica said about Sherry Tenpenny, who we think was prophylactically dosing herself with HCQ and ivermectin and other things, the usual, D3 and all that. And she still got whatever it was that was, we're speculating, was probably introduced into that crowd, either through the air conditioning, somebody was walking around with an aerosol device that would spray it, easily done. Maybe it was an electromagnetic frequency that was aimed at the building that triggered something. We don't know.
But probably put it into the ventilation system.
Simple. So did Sherry bungle it by using something prophylactically for too long? It's a fair question. I don't have the answer. But if you get hold of your dose of HCQ or ivermectin, keep it safely stored. You don't need to take it. You're not, unless you're sick. If you're not sick, you're fine. Just remember.
Yeah, I don't think it's something that I mean, I'm not giving medical advice, but to me it doesn't make sense to take it habitually unless you know you're going to be around somebody who's potentially spreading something, and maybe in her profession she feels that way, but it is concerning that this prophylactic protocol didn't appear to work, doesn't appear to work. So is it possible to become habituated to these things where they lose their effectiveness over
time?
Well,
antibiotics do, don't they?
Well, that would, yeah, if this thing is adapting to this type of pressure, or your body could just be compensating by down-regulating or up-regulating various responses to it by virtue of this medication. And it is a medication. It's a pharmaceutical, both of them. So they do, you know, they interfere with the normal pathways in the body.
And a lot of people don't know about ivermectin dosage, either pill or the tube, the horse paste, the apple-flavored horse paste. So I put up on the page, you'll see there's a dosage chart. And we're not recommending anything here. We're just pointing to a piece of information that people have asked about. So it's up there on the right side, under the COVID spike protein archive. We think it's an extraordinary assemblage of information, very important, which has tracked much of this whole thing. So, go ahead.
There was another benefit to the ivermectin that came up recently. It is known, well, as a back of the conversation here, some of the detrimental consequences of either the SARS-CoV-2 infection, the virus itself, or the vaccine are neurological in nature. And this is due to probably the fact that the S1 portion of the spike protein has been shown to bind to the acetylcholine receptor. And this may be the reason for the shaking syndromes that people have, the tremors, the gait problems, dizziness, headaches, those types of issues. Acetylcholine is necessary for all kinds of neurological impulses, movements. And ivermectin has been shown to be what they call an allosteric, a positive allosteric modulator of the ACE, or not the ACE, the acetylcholine receptor. So these people that have suffered neurological damage after the vaccine have found profound relief when they take ivermectin because of its ability to modulate the acetylcholine receptor.
That's very interesting. I didn't know that. That's good.
Yeah, it's good. Not talked about very much.
No.
But they take it and the shaking, the trembling goes away. They don't take it comes back.
Wow. So they've been permanently damaged, but there's a way to at least mitigate that for a short term of repetitive use over and over.
Assuming they've been, successfully transfected with this mRNA, and they're now spike-producing factories. So their body's being flooded with these toxic spike proteins that are circulating, and in their case, they appear to be binding to this acetylcholine receptor and causing these neurological issues. So if you get the ivermectin, it can interfere with that binding and stop that, that pathological response.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good.
No wonder they don't want people to have it.
No, they don't. They're trying to make it go away. Wow. Some places are making you, some of these horse tack supply stores are making you show a picture of you and your horse before they'll sell you a tube. I'm not kidding. So get a picture of you taken with a horse before you go into a horse store for ivermectin. For your horse, of course. All right. How much more of this FDA do we want to go with? Quite a bit?
The 420 mark was pretty interesting.
Okay, coming right up on that right now.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The next speaker is Mr. David Wiseman.
Thank you, Dr. Monto. Please see our written comments. Next slide, B, for our disclosures, and next slide, slide C. With this Lancet paper by FDA vaccine officials, we find ourselves agreeing with them, but for different reasons. We have an unclear need with unclear motivation, significant safety concerns, poor evidence of sustained booster efficacy, and wrong priorities. So while FDA and Pfizer can't agree about waning efficacy, let's go to next slide D. We saw recently CDC's apparent withholding of key data from ACIP prior to recommending the Pfizer vaccine, and revealing that the primary driver for approving Comirnaty was to overcome hesitancy through regulatory misdirection. We agree with others that this has become politicized. Next slide, E. Pfizer's booster evidence today is weak. They are small studies in mostly younger subjects. They are short-term. There is no randomized control. There are no clinical outcome data, only serology. Inadequate safety given this is a gene therapy product. Where are the data from the 10,000 patient study? Next slide, F. If FDA cannot assure us of the safety of two doses, how can they assure us of three? We see strong signals for death, myocardial infarction, and coagulopathy that need transparent investigation. Next slide, G. We find three potential pools of vaccine-associated deaths. Note the second pool among vaccinees. Next slide, H. Daily cases in Israel increase upon booster rollout compared with the same period last year. Please note the correct rollout is July the 1st of the 130 number. The Israel booster presented today has matching censoring bias seen in related studies, non-comparable populations, possible clustering bias, inadequate accounting for early vaccine effects, and a short follow-up in mainly older people. Next slide, I. Others show unexplained Israeli deaths lockstepping with booster rollout. This looks like the second pool deaths we said before in vaccinees rejected by New England Journal of Medicine in February. Next slide, J. Other safety concerns not voiced in the label are revealed in studies funded offline by NIH for menstrual disorders. Next slide, K. And offline by CDC in a disturbing revelation of an urgent need to monitor safety in pregnancy. Put this in the label. Next slide, L. Long-term safety. No cancer studies were performed. Moderna said its vaccine was a gene therapy product. Why is the FDA not requiring 5 to 15-year cancer and other studies per their gene therapy guidance? Next slide, M. We propose the term PCOVs to describe the wide spectrum events being reported. Next slide, N. We are running out of options. Vaccine hesitancy won't be solved by bullying or coercion. Address safety. Show convincing booster efficacy. Revisit repurposed drugs. Next slide, O. We reverse the findings of flawed landmark studies that have misguided policy. Journals refuse to correct these defects, and Dr. Rubin's seat on this committee is a conflict. Next slide, P. This is what has to be done. Thank you very much.
Okay, was that pretty much it?
That wasn't the one I was thinking of, but that's okay.
Okay, all right, we got another one here. Let's see, I've got 3 minutes. Let me find out if this is the one. Was it
It was right at 420.
Okay, that's where that's where I rolled it. So I'm at 427 now. Let's see what's next, and we can we're going to take a break here in a few minutes anyway.
Thank you. The next speaker is Mr. Kermit Kubitz.
Is it Kermit Kubitz? Does that sound familiar?
No.
Okay. All right. What did we miss? Let me send this over to you, the link, and you can check the times. Hold on here.
You may have a different video than the one I looked at, so it might not be synced.
Was what I played okay, any of it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that says a lot right there.
Okay.
The fact that this vaccine is killing two people for every one that it saves, isn't that damning enough?
Such a deal, huh? Wow. Two for one.
And, the second speaker, I mean, he summed it up, too, with, you know, there's no long-term studies. We may actually be killing more people. I mean, we're only seeing, 6 to 8 months out.
In terms of deaths. Well over a million in this country now. That's my call.
And the specter of cancer is very real. We're already seeing an uptick in a wide range of cancers as of the beginning of this year when they rolled out the vaccines.
Cancers are a very big deal now, and that's one of the main categories that they are using to take people out, cancers. Remember we've started off talking about the P53 gene and the suppression therein. There are other aspects of the human physiology that work to suppress cancer. They're not being suppressed anymore in the vaxxed. So when you begin to abrade the immune system, which is precisely what's going on, which is exactly what happened with AIDS patients, you begin to open the door to all manner of issues. One of the most deadly was pneumocystis carinii, pneumonia. Had two I's at the end of it. I think that's how you pronounce carinii. At any rate, that was a bad one. But there are over 30, they call them hallmark AIDS diseases that in most of the cases were fatal. So we're looking at the same thing. People's immune systems are being eradicated. They're wiped out. When you see the blood pictures, which we posted, of people after they've been vaxxed, and unfortunately, in people who have been shed upon, not quite as bad, but pretty damn bad, you understand that the immune system is being ruined.
Yeah, the blood is so compromised. And bear in mind, I mean, every organ, every tissue of your body depends on a healthy blood supply. And if that blood isn't healthy, none of those organs or tissues are going to be healthy.
We have seen evidence of blood, again, in people who have simply been around the vaxxed. Can you tell us just briefly what that was about? I remember, but...
Well, there was evidence of... the rouleau, which is the clumping, like a roll of coins, clumping of the red blood cells. But more concerning, as if that's not concerning enough, I've seen in a couple of instances, something that looks like almost a wire, or a hollow tube. And it did look somewhat similar to what was in the Pfizer vax that somebody got a hold of and put under a microscope a number of months ago.
That video.
Yes, it was a video, short video, in, I don't know if it was Belgium or...
Denmark.
But it didn't look organic. It looked synthetic. It was blue. It kind of illuminated. It didn't look like it belonged in the blood, for sure. And that was somebody or two people actually that have been around vaxxed people that had that, and they were sick, they were having symptoms.
So many things in the blood that should not be, especially
in the vaxxed.
It's
not behaving normally. It's not behaving normally at all.
clotted. Well, the Rouleau is, I mean, you can call them almost clots. They're just, the blood
is
clotted
up. Yeah, they're
all
together. And, you know, they're not spaced apart either. They're very, you know, very close together. I don't know how this person's breathing or getting any oxygen to their cells.
How can that be? You actually wonder, how can someone live with that kind of a messed up blood supply and circulatory system? It's just, as we said, how many different ways do you think these carriers can kill people?
Oh, at least 10, maybe 30. You could go on and on.
Yeah, agreed. All right, Eric and I will be back in a few minutes. Hold on. Stay right there.